Good morning. Wow. It's so good to be back. I've known Pastor Jeff for many years, almost, I think, 38 years. But, you know, we age like fine wine, so our bad vinegar, I don't know which one it is. But it's been a blessing to see the church growth, to see what he would do, what God will do through him. And it is all about God. And just for you that don't know who I am, I minister in Asia, Southeast Asia, through Cambodia and Vietnam, and as well as in, we were in Burma for a while, in Myanmar, and also now live in the Philippines and work there. Basically, what I do is teach discipleship, do seminars, train people, disciple pastors, encourage them. Because, see, once you get to our young age, because we're young compared to Methuselah. Methuselah was a lot older than both of us. When we get to a certain age, it's easier to teach the younger generation to do the reaching out and to do the work of the ministry than it is for someone our age to go and plant another church. So that's what we've been doing, and God has been blessing. And it just so happened, when I saw online that this was the 20th anniversary, I said, yeah, it is 20 years? How could that be? I remember driving over from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, with a truckload of equipment and sound systems. We set it up. We did the worship. We helped with the setup of the church and the teaching, the preaching, and would sit there and just enjoyed every bit of it. And to be here after 20 years tells me something, that God is doing something in each and every one of you. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. Let me get my clicker here. And by the way, I usually do not wear a coat and, you know, a suit. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's just something I stopped doing a long time ago. When you teach in the tropics, sometimes you preach in shorts and sandals. But 20 years, you know, 20 years. So this might be the only time you'll see me in a suit, unless you see me in a casket somewhere. So, you know, if they put me in a casket with a suit on, can you take it off and throw it and burn it? And so anyway, but I thank God to be here today, and I hope this all works. This is my family, by the way. This is my wife. If you don't know her, my wife's on this side. My oldest daughter, we received her. God gave her to us many, many years ago as an orphan. And now she's a missionary and a teacher in Cambodia. And so we're blessed to have her. And that's my Lisa Rose. And you can see that's me in the middle going crazy when you have three girls that acts like their daddy. It gets bad. I know, sister, it's bad. But I am so blessed to have them in my life. And so today, Grace Chapel of Houma, celebrating 20 years of making Jesus first again. Might as well go get political, right? Hey, whatever you think, this has been the theme. The Word of God and Jesus first. The Word of God and Jesus first. It's all about him, not about me. It's all about Christ and what he is doing and his Holy Spirit moving among us. It's God drawing us, the Holy Spirit convicting us, and Jesus saving us. And we're growing in God's grace every single day. Some of us grow in grace, some of us grow in space, but yet we're still growing, so praise God for that. So this morning what I want to do is just tap into a few scriptures and then go into chapter 9 of Luke, and we'll teach from there, but this is our foundational scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and through 22. It says, now, therefore, you are no longer what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I'm going to stop there because I want to emphasize this. We're no longer strangers. God knows us. We're no longer on the outside. If you know Christ, you're part of him. So I'm going to keep this on. So Jeff told me I had to stay behind the pulpit. I'm a mover. So if I get moving too much, you have permission, please, to look at me and say, over this way, over that way. I'll try to stay within this space, okay, because of the camera. All right, but we're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners with God. And then when I look here, when we apply that word foreigner, this is what the body of Christ should look like. When I look around, I see many nations represented here at this church. You know why? Because God says that he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That means that every single one of us here that know Christ, we're on level ground, because Calvary just makes it all level for us. All ground's level at Calvary. But we're also members of this household. We're members together. But here's the most important, and this is what we'll reference to this morning, is that having been built up, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now notice this, our foundation is not a denomination. Our foundation is not Pastor Jeff. Our foundation is not Pastor Allen. Our foundation is not Calvary Chapel. Our foundation is in Jesus being the cornerstone and built upon the prophets and the apostles, which is the word of God. And so we have here, he's the chief cornerstone. Now that is an architectural term that holds two things together, but also sets straight or sets the guidelines of how the building should be built. So if a church on this earth or assembly like this is not built upon this foundation, it's not considered God's church. And so look at verse 21. In whom the whole building being joined together grows, the whole building grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And so we are in the holy temple right now if we're in Christ. And we are growing as God puts more stones here, not stoned people, but, you know, stones, a little bit different. Previously stoned, I was one of those. But now I am a stone in the wall, directed by Jesus, part of his church, an extension of this church as well. And you're an extension of what we do in Asia. So you see, we're all together. In whom we also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in his Spirit. So the application here is, get this, this fellowship was built on the word of God. Pastor Jeff talked about that this morning, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, practical applications for us to live by. That's what this church is built on. He doesn't have to get up here and dance around. Nothing wrong with dancing around. He doesn't have to get up here and scream and yell and slobber and scream and point. He doesn't have to do all that. He just reads the word of God, applies the word of God, and watch God do the work. And so that's the way you grow a church. That's the way you grow a church. And so, Jeff, congratulations. I still don't understand how we grew old, but your wife is still young. Y'all do know the story that there was one time that he was playing softball, and somebody came up to him and wanted to know if that was his daughter. And so, oh, yeah, that's right. His dad going to play. That's what it was. But either way, we're growing together, getting old together. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at God's plan. See, God has a plan and had a plan for you as an individual and as a church. He has a plan for me. And God's plan started a long, long time ago before time, where the Trinity came together and they made a plan, because God knew that when he created man, he created the creation, that man was going to fall, going to rebel against him. And so he had to have a way for him to come back. And so the plan was Christ himself would come and take our place, pay the price to bring us back into fellowship with God. Now that is his plan. He made a plan to reconcile the descendants of Adam, that's all of us, through Jesus, our Messiah. But here's what we want to do this morning. Every blueprint starts, or every plan starts with a blueprint. What we're going to do, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. That's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to just kind of walk through Luke a little bit. Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, there we go. Luke chapter 9. And you say, well, how in the world can Luke chapter 9 have anything to do with a 20-year anniversary? Well, we're going to look at it this way. And I love this title. No, I don't. I despise titles. How to play a bass in 3 easy steps. How to preach in 3 easy steps. How to get married in 3 easy steps. Or whatever it might be. How to date successfully with 3 easy steps. So I do this kind of tongue-in-cheek. Okay, because what I have found as I studied Scripture when it comes to discipleship and church growth and my growth, your growth, is that there are 3 basic principles that seem to be showing up all over Scripture. And today I want to take us to chapter 9 of Luke. It's prior to the church being established, I know that, but every plan needs to be laid out before there is a building that comes up. And so what we're going to do is look at some of these plans that God has. And here's basically the summary. We're going to see in chapter 9 that we need to respond to the call that Jesus has for each and every one of us. Then we need to make way, respond to every opportunity that God gives us. And then, number 3, respond by making disciples. Now, if these principles run out through Scripture, now, let me give you the context. Context here in chapter 9 is prior to the church. Christ was developing a ministry team. Here it's called the 12, or we now know as the what? Apostles. Okay. He was developing them. They were learning. They were in their infant state. But yet, God was working with them to use them, which tells me that no matter where you are in your spiritual walk, you can be used by God every time. And so when we look at this scripture, I want us to understand that contextually, God is not telling us to duplicate what's here, but to look for those principles, peel back the context, and look at the principles that he has for us. So let's look at chapter 9 and verse 1. Okay, make sure I'm there. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs nor bag or bread or money, and do not have 2 tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, you stay there, and from there depart. And wherever, whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, take off the dust, the very dust of your feet, as a testimony against them. And they departed, and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I'm going to stop there. Because see, what Jesus did, he says, okay, guys, come. He called them. Now, we know the end story. We know that these apostles ended up being the foundation of the church of God. Not the denomination, but the church. The church of Jesus Christ, him being the cornerstone. They probably did not know what important role they were going to play. But Christ called them in. He says, guys, come here. And they came in obedience. Just like when I left Calvary and went to Fort Walton Beach and became part of Calvary Chapel in Fort Walton Beach, Jeff and I stayed in touch. And his desire was to see a Calvary Chapel church here in Houma, Louisiana. I said, well, let's do it. And I even thought about coming back and being a part of that. But then God said, no. I said, you're it, Jeff. I imagine at that moment he did not know that 20 years later he'd be sitting here as senior pastor ministering to people like you and being blessed doing it. It's been a hard time. It's been hard knocks. But He's a blessed man. So they called him together. And then he gave him power and authority over all demons. So there's a calling that comes that we need to understand, that there is a calling from God for instructions. And I'm trying to find my other notes. I don't see them. I see something else here, but that's okay. So he calls them together. He gives them power and authority to do what? Over all demons and to cure all diseases. Now, I want you to understand, this is directly to these apostles, okay? Contextually. There's something we can understand from this, is that as we read, he says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, to have a kingdom, you have to have a king, King Jesus. You have to have a territory. That's the world. You got to have subjects. That's the people who believe. What does a king do? He takes care of those subjects. He provides for them. He protects them. He blesses them. Not like some of the movies we see of kingdoms. And we see that he gave them power over how many demons? Over all demons and over all diseases. And some people might say, well, I don't believe in demons. If Jesus didn't believe in demons, he would not have given them power over demons. They are real. I'm not here to glorify demons. I have demons in my life as well, not personally, but I've been woken up in the middle of the night, and there I'm standing or sitting in bed, and there's this dark silhouette of a being in front of me. No fear in my heart. I always thought if I ever saw a demon, I might go, oh, no, and make a door, you know, and take off running. And I just said, in Jesus' name, get out of here and take off. So, oh, you're just sleeping. No, that same demon showed up again. Did the same thing. And then one night, it showed up, woke me up, it hit me in both my legs on the shins. And it hurts when you get your shins hit. It's like somebody took a bat and hit my shins. I jumped up. And I started praying and rebuking and telling it to get out because I have the authority to do so. You know what's a real blessing? Is to have a wife that is a fighter. Because she didn't know what was going on. She heard her husband go, ow, in Jesus' name, get out of here now. She said, oh, she jumps up. She starts getting in between me and whatever that thing was. And she was just praying and commanding like my little like a cat, you know, just meow, meow, and they were just running. I thank God that we have a ministry like this. He said, what happened, honey? I said, you saw it. We've had things walk around the house, open doors, locked doors, open them up and shut them back. Oh, that's the wind. No, the wind does not move doorknobs and open up doors and then close the door and then lock it back. And then a few minutes later, come back out. Demons are real. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we might say, oh, well, let's just glorify God. He gave us authority over demons. I want you to keep your fingers here and jump over to chapter 10 and verse 20. Because I think many of us in the church today miss the point of what Christ is saying here. He says in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are what? Written in heaven. Now notice what verse 2 says. He sent them out to do what? Preach the kingdom of God and to heal sick. He didn't say anything about demons here. So there's something that we need to see. When God calls, we need to respond. You might be the change that your community needs. You might be like his apostles. God's trying to teach us something. God's trying to move us. I never thought in my life I'll be living in Asia for so long. Been there off and on since 2005. Long time. As my friends call me, see, over there, I'm a foreigner. Or as my friends say, the foreign germ. You know? And it's said with affection. I take it, you know, for what it is. That's what I am, the foreign germ. But I get to teach, I get to learn, I get to work with so many different people from the underground church in Myanmar and Burma, the church in Thailand, the church in Cambodia. In Cambodia, God would use us there to help train and disciple people. And then Vietnam. And then now in Philippines. So I thank God. When God calls, we need to respond. Need to respond. But let's look a little further. You might say, well, I don't glorify in demons. I hope you don't. I hope you put the word of God first. Because why did he drop out in verse 2 to preach the kingdom of God and then heal the sick? Why didn't he put in here to preach the kingdom of God, take authority over demons, and heal the sick? Here's the reason why. The same power to cast out a demon is the same power that changes hearts. We don't have to get wild and crazy. Okay, Jesus! Come out now! No, we don't need to do that. In Jesus' name, come out. They have to listen. We have the authority. That's it. That's all it is. And so when we preach the word of God, we're breaking down the strongholds of the enemy. God has given us authority. That's the application, given us authority over all demonic powers. Do they all come out easy? It's according if you've been prayed up and fasted. Praying and fasting. We need to do that. So let's make sure that we put this in the proper authority. Because see, Acts 1:8 says, you will receive what? This is in the New Testament. This is when the church was born. You receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? Witnesses. So you want to be a powerful witness and not look for demons, because when you're a powerful witness, the demons will show up. They'll pop up their head. You see that with Christ teaching. What are you doing here? Shut up. Sit down. You know, repent and be Baptist or something, you know, something like that. But they will show up. And I don't have to worry about that because God is in control. I don't have the power. He has the power. But the power is living in me and Christ is in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I live a victorious life. That's my favorite verse. That's my life verse. But look at this. Expect a response. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Let's keep looking and reading. So they went out and they preached, verse 7. It says, now Herod the Tetrarch heard all that had been done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John, I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to seek him. And then the apostles came back, in verse 10, and when he had returned, they told him all that had they had been done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging into a city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. There's something about preaching the word of God contextually, historically, and applying it practically that people hear about it. Some people will respond, they just want your head like Herod. Some people want to be fed like the crowd. So where are we? Do we want to take Pastor Jeff's head off? He says, let me go home, I'm fine. Or do we want to be fed? I hope we want to be fed. So let's be fed by God. So let's apply that principle in our life. Let's look at step number 2. Okay? Respond to every opportunity that God sends. Now notice what happened here, that the opportunity came as they preached the word of God. The word got out. Herod the Tetrarch heard about what was going on. Even the government will figure out what's happening. And then people will hear, and they'll be curious, and they will come. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But while they were there, what Christ did, he said in verse 11, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. There it is again. Preach the word. The Word is the foundation. And when we put the Word as our foundation, then the power of the Word can move away the demons and do the healing. Say, do I believe in healing? Yes, I do. I've prayed more for people that have been healed than not. Have I prayed for people that have died? Yes. So if you want me to pray for you about any sickness, you got a choice. You might live, you might die. It's not me, it's Jesus. God says, lay hands upon the sick, so they will recover. It's up to God. It's up to God to do the work. I'm just obedient. I've seen cancers leave. I've seen sicknesses just disappear. I've had a lady one time call me up and said, my son is very sick. Please come to my house. My wife says, oh, okay, let's just go. And we drove across town. I prayed for the son. The son was healed completely. Whatever the ailment was, disappeared. Is it me? No, it was God. And then the daddy called me up one time. He said, hey, I'm having some trouble. And I went over and I prayed with him. His back was really messed up. He was in the Army for many years. And he fought in the war for about almost 20 years. And his back was totally messed up. He was in severe pain. I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, just heal his back. I didn't make a big production. Oh, Lord, get up. Wow. And I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't throw my coat. I didn't spit on him. I didn't rub anything in. I didn't do any of that. I just said, in Jesus' name, he'll be healed. He looked at me like, you're nuts. And so I left. Next morning, I get a phone call. Brother, I've never slept this good in a long time. He jumped out of bed. He says, I can run. I can dance. My back is healed. Was it me? No, it was God. And when words of that goes out, that Christ is real, his word is real, then people will respond. People will be attracted to it. Some for the wrong reasons, some for the right reasons. I'm assuming that you're here for the right reasons. Is that correct? All right, good. All right, so let me go a little further. If we are obedient to the call and to the message, God will place ministry opportunities directly in our path. So there might be someone here that, who here cooks gumbo really good? Anybody cook gumbo really good? Okay, fantastic. There's a few. There's one there. You know, you ever thought about a gumbo ministry? I said, what's that? I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you what to do. What would happen if someone was sick in your neighborhood? Someone that you knew at your work. You can't cook, but you know my brother back here can cook, or this lady can cook, or that lady can cook. Say, hey, can you cook me some gumbo? I'm taking some gumbo over and praying with so-and-so. And give them some bread. Give them some gumbo. By the way, I'm feeling sick. I need gumbo right now. So. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. I'm not going to confess that. If we're obedient to the call, God will make a way. There's many ways of ministering to people. There was a church in, I think it was Cincinnati area. You know what God told them to do? He didn't tell them to go door to door without money, which means that they had to have faith in Christ to do the work that God had called them. God told them to fill up ice in the back of a pickup truck, put water in it, and go to the stoplights and hand out free water to people with a tract that says, God freely has given to us, we freely give to you, we're such and such church, call us. And you know, people responded. Because, you know, what's going to happen? You go back to your office, you know what happened to me? There's a crazy guy out here with a truckload of ice and water, and he's handing it out for free. I tried to pay him. He says, no, no money. Given away for free. It was a witness of love, and people responded. So there's so many ways to pray. You don't have to do what God says here in verse 3 through verse 6. You don't have to go without a tunic, without money. We started without money. By faith, we saw God do the work. You take what God has given you and you use it for the glory of God, and it will multiply. And we'll see that again in just a moment. So chapter 2. Step 2 is respond to every opportunity. And then verse 12, and when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send a multitude away that they may go to the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a desert place. Now, wait a second. These are supposed to be the apostles, but didn't I tell you they're in their learning state? Okay? They're in their learning state. Lord, send them away. You read in John, Christ says, feed them. They had to walk by faith to preach the gospel in the towns. They needed to walk by faith here. And so, you know, they said, well, we don't have any food. Oh, wait a second. We got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it came from somebody, and John says it came from somebody named T-Boy. I don't know who that is. Said there's a T-Boy over here has the food. So they stole the food from the kid. What good Christians they are, huh? Again, God is working on every single one of us. Don't give up on the one who makes a mistake. Don't kick them and push them down, because God might be using that person to turn this city upside down for the glory of God. So, let's go on a little further. But he said to them, you feed them. And he said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes unless we go and buy food for all these people. We don't even have the money. Take what money you got, use it for the glory of God. Verse 14, and there were about 5,000 men. Now, you can do the math. Let's say that they had every one of them had a wife. That's 10,000. Every one of them had 2 children. That would be 20,000. It might have been 20, 30, 40,000 people that he had to feed with 5 loaves, 2 fish. You know what I've learned about the culture here? Good-hearted people. Someone comes over, oh, Misha, put another cup of water in the gumbo, and you serve it. Now, why are churches not growing as fast here in South Louisiana than they are in some other places? Well, they grow really fast in Asia for some reason. I'm going to say this with the best love, because I pastored here for a long time, okay? So if you were born and raised here, please don't get mad at me. You'll see the truth in this. This whole community is full of people with big hearts, compassionate hearts, willing to give you the shirt off their back. But they're so hard-headed when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And the only way we're going to break that hard-headedness is understand that we have the power over the demonic forces that makes them a hard head. And that we need to be praying. One of the things that we do is we go around communities and we pray. We call it a prayer walk here in the U.S. And we pray. So you could do that. You're pulling down strongholds. You're praying. You're asking God to open up minds, open up hearts so they could be drawn by God. And churches are growing. You might have to pray and feed them gumbo. I don't know. But ask God what he wants you to do, and then do it, whatever it might be. You might not do this pattern. You might not be feeding 5,000. But God might give you a direction of ministry that maybe the pastor's never thought about. Or maybe I've never thought about. Or maybe you had a dream about it one night, and you woke up hungry and said, hey, I need to go do this. Whatever it might be. On campuses. We have campus people here. There's always needs. Now, it takes a lot to feed a college student. They're bottomless. But you know what? A cup of coffee. Give them some rice cakes to swell up a little bit first. And then feed them. Everything smooths out, and you have an opportunity to talk to people. Amen? I mean, you know, some people look for opportunities to eat. I'm looking for an opportunity to eat here. I was told there's Boudin. And I was so upset at myself. I drove away from here the last time I was here. And I got past New Orleans. I was heading up towards Mississippi. And I was up there, and I said, oh, no. My wife said, what, honey? I didn't buy any Boudin. I wanted to go to Boudreaux's Meat Market. And I wanted to buy some Boudin. I wanted to buy some cracklings. I wanted to buy all the stuff that'll kill you quick and make you see Jesus. That's what I wanted. But here, they had to feed. And by faith, Jesus showed them again. And they did so and made them sit down, verse 15. And they took the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples and set them before the multitude. So they all ate and were what? Filled, verse 17. And 12 baskets of leftovers and fragments were taken up by them. They took up more than went out. God has a way of multiplying his blessings if we're willing to use what we have. You might use your car to bring someone to church. God might supply you gasoline. God might keep your car from breaking down. Whatever it might be, you'll see God moving in some way. So he took those loaves, they gave them out. Verse 18, and it happened, as he was alone praying, Jesus said, okay, I got to go pray, that his disciples joined him and asked him, saying, what do the crowd say that I am? Or who do the crowd say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, and some said Elijah, and others said, one of the old prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. That brings us to our third point. What's a disciple? What's a disciple? Well, this is something that God has shown me. You can argue with me, you can debate me later, but I think you'll see it in the text here in just a moment as part of the application. What is a disciple? The actual definition of a disciple is just a learner. A student, okay? All right. Is a student already a doctor? No. Not until he graduates. All right? So what's a disciple? Well, it's a learner or a student. Are all disciples believers? I say no, because the biblical disciple is not only a learner, he's a follower. James says you need to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. So when we look at the next part of this text, I see people that follow Jesus sometimes or they're there for the wrong reason. People might call them disciples, and some of the churches are full of those people. They're there for the wrong reason. They're there just to get something or to make a business or whatever it might be, instead of to be fed and to grow and to minister to others. So, what's a disciple? Well, Jesus, in the next few verses, tells us about these two types. But in verse 20, we find that Jesus says, who am I? He said, the Christ of God, the Messiah of God, the Savior sent from God. Until we as believers totally understand that Jesus is the only way. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not a good sermon. It is Jesus, and Jesus only is our cornerstone that will save us. We have nothing but just an organization that looks good and smells good. Amen. We need to let the Word of God do its work. And verse 21, and he strictly warned them and commanded them to do something that's really strange, but I'll explain it to you, saying, I am the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priest. See, there was a plan. Let me go to the next page. And the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. So Jesus says, hey, this has to happen first. So the church has not come into existence yet. It's been in the blueprint plan from creation. And when Jesus died and was resurrected and the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers, and the day of Pentecost, the church started. All right, so then we get into verse 18 and following, I think it is. Or no, it's a little further. No, 23 and following. I got the wrong verses. See, these disciples, true disciples, according to what I see, They die to themselves, Galatians 2:20, I quoted that earlier. They take up their cross, that's putting to death the things of the flesh daily, and they follow Jesus. They're not ashamed. I believe that's true disciples. Now let's look at that. Verse 23, then he said unto them all, if anyone, that means anyone that's there, all the 5,000, 20,000, 30,000, whatever, how many was there, if anyone says they're following me, there needs to be something changed in your life. Okay? All right. If anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. And that's where the hard-headedness comes in. Sometimes we're so independent-minded, we're not willing to say, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need help. Yes, it's Jesus and Jesus only. No, I can keep the Ten Commandments and everything will be okay. No, it will not. That is a false disciple. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Taking up your cross doesn't mean to literally take up a cross and walk across the United States. What is the cross used for? It was used to kill things, right? Kill people. It's crucifixion. So, what God is saying is, take this cross. And by the way, Jesus wasn't crucified yet. So he was using speech that they understood. Die to yourself. If anything that's contrary to the word of God, that's demonic, that is making you sick, get away from it, put God first, and watch the strongholds break. And so, he says, if you want to follow me, then follow me. Now, follow me. Now, how far can I get over here, Jeff? Too far? Right there, whatever. Okay, she's telling me, okay. How about this? Am I good? Hi, world. How you doing? Okay, so to follow somebody, Jeff, I need you to come here and stand here for a second. Okay. Let's plan, it's not snowing right now. This is mud. We're in Louisiana. I want you to face towards your wife. I want you to take one step forward, stop. Okay? Now, his foot just left there, so my foot needs to be here. Now, do it. Keep going. That's following. That's what that's talking about. That we need to follow Christ. He says, we will do the same works that he did. You know why? Because he's doing it through us. It's not my power, it's his power, says God. So we take up our cross, we follow Jesus. That means we listen to the word of God, and where the word of God convicts our flesh, we get rid of the flesh. And we walk, and we walk. Now, here's where we find out what kind of disciple you are. Verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you try to just be religious and not die to yourself and give yourself to Christ, you will lose your life. There's another scripture that talks about, hey, but Lord, I've cast out demons. I've prophesied in your name. You know what Jesus says? He says, I never knew you. Not I once knew you, now you're lost. I never knew you. Well, how can they prophesy and cast out demons? The devil can do that. Don't be fooled. Follow God, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's why Galatians 2:20 is my verse. I am crucified with Christ. But I'm not dead. My old self is dead, but I'm alive because Christ is in me. Praise God. I thank God for that. Now let me catch my composer and get back like Pastor Jeff here. You know. Let me say something. I remember some of his first sermons. I said the same thing. I said, oh, Lord, this man will never do anything. I said, but he wants to learn. But you know what? I'm serious. I'm not saying this because Jeff is here. I've got several preachers that I love to listen to. He's one of my favorites. I get to log on. It's about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, so I don't log on when you're live. I always look at the recording, so thank God for Facebook. And I listen, and sometimes I send him notes. Brother, that was fantastic. Thank you. That was encouraging. And sometimes iron sharpens iron. Sometimes I might not agree with him 100%, but hey, have you ever thought about this? And we talk. We're not angry at each other. It's not an essential doctrine that makes us separate. But I appreciate the way he delivers the word. I got to be me. I get loud. I have to move. It's hard for me to hold on to a pulpit. I got to move. But that's okay. It's not me. It's the word of God. So thank you, Jeff, for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. And thank you for being one of my favorites. You really are. Now, let's look a little further. We are to be making followers of Jesus and not followers of men or pastors or followers of denominations. Period. 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 The only man we should follow? The man Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, triumphant from the grave, and went around showing himself to people, and then walking this earth and showing up with the disciples saying, hey, I'm here. Is that a ghost? No, it's Jesus. Do you know Jesus will show up in your times where you really need him? He'll show up just as real. You mean he'll just appear? No, in your heart, because we're in the temple. He's in us. He will show up. If he wants to show up physically, that's up to him. But I've never seen him physically, but I've felt him just like I feel the wind. God's good. God's good. God's good. No matter where I'm at and I need God, I say, God, I need you. He's there for me. Finances, the finances are there for me. I don't send out letters saying, oh, please, please, please send me money. I teach Christ, and I tell it to my Lord. I make a list. My wife and I give it to God, and guess what? Every single time, God supplies the need. Even this morning, my sister-in-law is in the hospital in Cambodia. She's a missionary in Cambodia. Heartbeat, 10 beats to 15 beats per minute. Kidneys are not doing well. Unless God does a miracle, she's going to pass away. But you know what? She's with the Lord. If God decides to make her rise out of that bed, praise God. It'd be a great witness. If God decides to take her, there's still a great witness. Why? Because she followed Jesus. And my wife called me this morning, 2 o'clock, I think it was, 2:30 in the morning. I'm so sorry. And she's crying. I said, I'm thinking, you know, Patana, I'm sorry. English. I wasn't speaking in tongues. Okay, I was Tagalog, one tongue. My sister-in-law, I thought she might have died. And she said, honey, people are responding. I asked a few people to help with her hospital visit, you know, and pay for her hospital in Cambodia. And they're responding, and they're sending money to our bank account. I said, okay, how much? Instead of getting right straight to it, I'm just a straight to it guy. Yeah, okay, it's $20,000, it's $25,000, whatever it might be. Just tell me what it is. She says, it's this amount. I said, okay, give me the information. I will transfer it to the bank for Cambodia. And I got up online. Of course, I had to put my glasses on because I'm older and better now. And I had to look at my phone and, you know, focus and then put everything in, make sure, double check the numbers, and then hit send. And then send the money so she can have her bills paid in the hospital. You know how God pays bills and helps people? By just a little bit you give. And when you're in need, God's there for you. He's always there for you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always with you, even unto the end of the world. And I live at the end of the world. Or actually, right now, since I live in Asia, this is the end of the world. So don't get offended, okay? If you go any further around, we're coming back around the world. That's how far away we are. So we have God telling us to make disciples, followers. And then he says, for whoever's ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father of the holy angels. If you're ashamed of Jesus, you're not a true disciple of Christ. He never knew you. Verse 27, but I tell you the truth, there are some that stand here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God, until they see the church start. See, right now we're living in a spiritual kingdom, but there's one day a physical kingdom will come. But God is still in charge. He's still in charge no matter what. No matter what. So I thank God for that. So here, let me sum up this. What do we do? Just by principle, we don't have to follow word by word what chapter 9 says. This is just a blueprint where our applications are. When God calls, listen, go. What do you want me to do? How many cups, Lord? How many loaves of bread? What do you want me to do? You want me to go knock on doors? You want me to go pray for my sick relatives or my sick neighbors? Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do it. And he will give you instructions. Here he gave the different type of instructions. Go without money, go without this, go without that. Preach the gospel, okay? Respond to the call. And then respond to every opportunity that God sent your way. The more I teach about discipleship, the more people want to say, hey, can you come and help us? You know, I've been blessed to mentor some pastors, actually many pastors. And I'll end with this. I had one pastor come one time to my house. He says, I'm quitting. I said, you're quitting Jesus or you're quitting ministry? No, not quitting Jesus. He's not nothing. I'm always going to be with him. But I'm not a good pastor. He was one of the five pastors of the staff. I'm not a pastor. I feel bad. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not a good speaker. Teach the word. I encouraged him. I prayed with him. I picked on him. He laughed at me. We laughed at each other. We loved each other. We prayed for one another. That man now has planted a church, and they're running two services, and he has extra staff with him, helping him to see what God will do. You know why? Because he kept preaching the word of God. The word got out. People started coming. They took every opportunity that God sent them and ministered to them. And that's what we need to do. And I say we, I feel I'm part of this because you're part of my body. We're together in this church. All right? So respond by making disciples. It's easy to find those that are not disciples. They'll ultimately have no signs of life in them, and they'll ultimately will walk away. And I've told Pastor Jeff, and I've told many other pastors, don't ever expect the same crowd you started with to be with you for 20 years. I think it's true. I look around and see a lot of good and new people. Can I say thank you to every single one of you for being here this morning? Thank you. Can you just listen to God? Ask God to show you whatever plan it is that he wants for you here at Grace Chapel. And then respond to those that come around you. You'll start seeing opportunities. Take it. And then you bring them in. You make disciples. You share Christ with them, and you watch them come to know the Lord. So, this is the wrong one. This is not my. Okay, that's all right. No, it's Grace Chapel, celebrating 20 years of making Jesus first. Is Jesus first in your life? If he's not, making first. If you are a slip-sliding disciple, but yet you're a true believer, it's okay. Get right with God today. God loves you. He loved you while you were a sinner. He died for you. So do you think he loves you any less right now? No, he loves you just as much. The same power he gave the apostles, he has given you over demonic forces and in preaching the gospel. Let's make sure we rejoice in the word, not in the works. Okay? We give him the glory for the works and him the glory for making the word clear. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your blessings and thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here today and to just be a blessing to each other. So, Lord, help this message to go deep into our hearts and to be used for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jeff, I'm going to let you come.